Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Praise the Lord. Hey, it's boring, eh? I wish I was in Malawi where they know how to shout. Here you don't know how to shout. Because you are westernized. Africans, we shout. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you're good Africans now. there are two tough things which almost dread. When I'm about to be introduced to come and preach. I wish the whole world could open up, sink down, and disappear. I'm so frightened to stand from there to here. Oh, that is the most horrifying place for me. Secondly, is when I'm being introduced. Oh, I feel like they didn't even mention my name. I feel frightened with introductions. Ooh, while I was in Liberia, they say, "How do we introduce you?" I said, "Stephen Lungu." He said, "Title." I said, "No, just Stephen Lungu." So he came up, this Anglican priest, and then they put me the gown. They were so heavy. I tell you, and they were black. And also, make matters worse, it was hot, 40 degrees. And I was sweating like as if I was coming from the swimming pool. And so this man introduces me. "Now we have," you know, they speak like Americans. "Now we have a man from God, world-renowned preacher, Dr. Professor Stephen Lungu." I said, "Uh-oh, where did he get all those?" Oh, my, it was terrible. Yeah, I was going to be honored by Harvard University with an honorary degree, and I rejected it. And last year, Johannesburg University wanted to honor me with their honorary degree, and I rejected it. And also Nairobi University. So three universities I had to say no. Because some of these degrees are good, but they make you puffed up inside. And you miss God. And you miss God. And I'm so sensitive, very sensitive about my spiritual life. I want to walk closer with God, simple Stephen Lungu. And if you come to Malawi, go to the police at the airport as you arrive, just mention my name is your passport to Malawi. Yeah, so what I'm saying is that I get frightened with these titles, real tremble, because we have seen many people who started very well, but accumulated these titles, apostle, prophet, doctor, you name it. And now when they want to greet you, they have to hold your little fingers because they are too big and too high. And you have to have an appointment to see them. I've tried to go to one church in America, a big church. I won't mention it. But, you know, about 6 years I've been trying to see the leader of the church. And every time he's too busy. Even if I make 1 year in advance, he's too busy. So I wrote them a very strong letter. And I said, "You know, brother, it's so easy to get to Jesus than to you." So they apologized, but I said, "No, I'll never come back to you." And they've been trying to get me now. So I've been too busy for them as well. So sometimes, you know, these titles of big mega churches, they become too high. that they replace God. And I pray Shofar will not come to that place. And if you come to that place, brother, I'll come with my strong words. That I will not mince words. And I'm prepared to break friendship if people go out of line from the word of God. Amen. Don't look at that brother, my twin brother, it's too dark there. I'm more handsome than that person. Don't you think so? Yeah, that one is too dark. My good friend. Well, tonight, this morning I want to share a message that has come out from my wife. My wife, last November, she died and came to life. And I almost lost her. In Malawi, she had gone to meet our daughter, who has been in England for 14 years. And then she came back after 14 years. So she traveled to meet my daughter, our daughter. And there she got sick, very, very sick. That she had malaria 4+. Now, malaria 3+, you are almost dead. But having 4+, you are gone. Secondly, she had pneumonia. And then thirdly, she had kidney failure. And fourthly, her blood count was very low. That doctors that with this type of blood, she cannot live. So for 7 days, she could not open her eyes, or 7 days, she could not open her mouth. And I was called from South Africa, flew to Malawi, and when I got there, only to be told by the doctor to come aside, and said, well, you came late, your wife is dead. And I said, doctor, God has the final word, not you. I said, God has the final word, not you. He said, I'm a doctor. I know when life is gone. I said, no, God has the final word. So I took my two daughters aside. And I said, let's pray. And I didn't tell them that mom is dead. But they were praying. You know, in the spirit, in tongues and so on. But I didn't pray, not one prayer. But in my heart I was saying, God, if you take my wife, I'm not going back to South Africa. You sent me to South Africa as a missionary with my wife. And I can't go back where South Africans will be saying condolences. We are sorry or why you lost your wife. I said, I'm not going. And again, I'll be disoriented when you take my wife. You know, I'll be disoriented. I won't know left and right. Because she has been a woman who has kept me straight. A woman who has criticized me, strengthened me, encouraged me, prayed for me. She's a woman of prayer. She's an intercessor. And my powerhouse is my wife. So if you see me preaching, she's praying. And so I said, God, I'm not going to pray. So my two daughters were praying. And then our sister from Cape Town here, Henda, she called at that time when the body was cold. And the doctor said, take the body to the mortuary. And Henda calls, and then she says, put the phone on her ears, and I'll pray. And she was praying from Cape Town. Our God has no distance. He fills the heavens and the earth. Amen? And I put the phone on her ears, and as she was praying here in Cape Town, she started sneezing. And she started turning her head left and right. That's our God. Amen. Hallelujah. But 7 days where she was quiet and not talking, her mouth was just not closed, you know. She couldn't open, they had to feed her somehow through the tubes. But I arrived on Friday, and following day after our sister prayed, following day she opened her eyes and she opened her mouth. But she was looking at one place, not blinking. And she was just looking at this place and tears coming down. He said, "Honey, can you hear me?" She couldn't hear me. But just gazing where she was looking, and that whole Saturday she was just looking like that. And on Sunday she was just talking. She would say, "Can you see the glory of God?" And each time she's crying. And she's saying, "God, why did I come back? Why did I come back? Why did you bring me back?" She explains about the glory of God. She's just weeping. And then our daughters and all the visitors that come there, they say, "But we don't see anything, the ceiling." Then she says, "You are all in the flesh. You can't see what I'm seeing." And she was trying to describe this glory. And she had no words to describe the glory of God. And then that Sunday, she spent the whole day preaching about the glory of God. And she ignored everyone, including me. Ignored everyone. She was just busy about the glory of God. Then God shows her hell, and she's frightened. And she sees pastors in hell, leaders in hell. She's so terrified that you can see on her face the terror. He said, "People don't understand about hell, how horrible the place is." Then she would turn to see the glory of heaven. Then the Lord, about evening, the Lord gives her 3 messages. He says, "Don't speak to the people about what you have seen. I'll tell you the time when it is full. It's time when you can talk about the glory of heaven. But for now, these are the 3 messages. Take it to the world." One was that preachers are compromising to preach the word. They are preaching that exciting gospel, prosperity, all that to excite people. Have you seen just January, when January the TV preaches? 2016, you'll never be poor. 2016, you'll never be sick. They are exciting people. But they are not preaching the gospel that makes people cry, turn around towards God. Just pleasing, people. And some spend millions just to buy an aeroplane in the midst of poor people. And they say the preachers are compromising preaching the gospel. And secondly, Christians spend more time with the cell phone than the word of God. And you imagine how much time we spend sending text messages and so on the cell phone. Just calculate for yourself and how much time you spend with the word of God. You will find that it's almost zero. It's almost zero. Thirdly, says, "Go and tell people that I'm delaying to come back because the Christians are not living up to the standard of the word of God. I should have come by now, but Christians are delaying me, my second coming." So this message I'm preaching this morning is based on what my wife has been preaching to me. So I'm a new convert. have repented. Hallelujah. Are we together? Yes. So I want to see a concerned God, based from Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. I could have gone and on and on and on. Oh, it's there, yeah. Exodus chapter 3. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I've heard them cry out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned. That's my title today, a concerned God. I am concerned about their suffering. Now when he sees that suffering, he says, I have come down to rescue them from the land of Egyptians. So this morning, God has come down here in Stellenbosch to rescue from your familiar position to an unfamiliar position. Because you are so too used to your familiar position. You are comfortable on your familiar position. You are not going upwards. You are not going downwards. You have become like those old records, LP records. When you played it too long, sometimes it has a crack. So when it has a crack, it repeats pass me. It doesn't continue with the song. You do the same things over and over and over. There's no freshness in your life. There's no new anointing in your life. You repeat the same things you did last week. And you don't have a fresh testimony today what God has done through in your life from 6 o'clock to this time. You don't have a fresh testimony. Even yesterday, you don't have a testimony of yesterday. Last week, 2 months, the same level. Jesus comes in John chapter 5. This man who had been there at poor Bethsaida, 38 years. Can you imagine 38 years when the angel stirs up the water, someone goes in. Now, I went to Israel to watch at that place and see, why was this man not having that chance of going in? But the way that place is, those who have been in Israel, you find that it's almost an uphill. A big tree was down here. So this man would try, when the angels stirs up, he would try to roll down as to go into the water. But as he's rolling, someone goes in. And 38 years on one place. Now, when you stay at a place too long, you develop your own language. You say, maybe tomorrow. That is your language, maybe tomorrow. Now, when there are too many maybes, you end up by saying, maybe I was born to suffer like this. Maybe I was born to have this sickness, to have this problem. Maybe this is my problem. So people have declared sickness as my headache, my diabetic, my blood pressure, my. So even if we anoint you with oil, it doesn't go off because you have already declared it's yours. Are we together? Because you are saying yours and we are trying to remove it, so that it's mine. Go get out of mine. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. It's mine. Even after prayer, you say, oh, my headache. I said, hey, we have just prayed for you. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, so this man had many years at the same place. He could not go somewhere because every day the angels was, someone was going in first. Do you know some of you have been shofar church for many years, but the newcomers are getting the blessings of God while you are going round and round. You have been in this church for many years, but the newcomers are grabbing the blessing quickly. Have you got these blessings, God? It may be sometimes missing you. Every time they are missing you. Until one day comes. This was like any other day. Like today is like another day. But this man, as he's lying there, who comes at the top of his head? It is not him who discovers him, but it is this person who discovered this person. And he says, do you want to get well? Can you imagine on the same place the question comes from the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the healer. He says, do you want to get well? Look, listen at the answer of this man. He says, Lord, when I am trying. But he didn't say Lord. He said, sir. He said, sir, when I am trying. He had not recognized that this was Jesus himself. Sir, when I'm trying. When you are trying, my brother and sister, God will fold up his hands because you are trying. He says, I'll wait until you are tired of trying. Are we together? Because the devil has produced a verse which is known all over the world. It's not there in the Bible. It says God helps those who help themselves. Have you ever heard that verse? God helps those. If you can help yourself, you don't need God. You don't need God if you can help yourself. In Malawi, there's a river called Rintipe. During this rain season, it's dangerous to cross over that river. It is flooded. Sometimes trees are pulled down, and on the river you see this big tree being taken downwards. But as young boys those days, we used to swim against the current of that river to go across, which was dangerous. Many boys died because when they would see this tree, they would duck down to come out that side. But a branch would pin that boy down and the boy would die. But we never stopped to play that game as boys. You fall down, you try again. And so one day the river is flooded. One boy was going there. The current was strong. And the boy was drowning, going up and down. And so we were running along the bank of the river. And the elder people said, please save that boy. Save that boy. He's dying. I said, no, wait. Help! And would be running until he collapsed. Then would dive in. And with one hand, he lift him up, swim across the bank, and then where we do first aid, you know, to push the stomach, the water comes out, and he opens his eyes. He said, where am I? He said, yeah, you are right here. You see, the boy is alive. But why did we wait until he collapsed? Because when he was shouting, help, help, if we went in, that boy would hold both our hands, and both of us would die. So we waited until he collapsed. Jesus said, Paul said, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He didn't wait for you to be strong, to be a good boy, better, or even at your best, you are still a sinner. Even at your best, you are still a sinner. You can't enter the kingdom of God. Your best will only come when Jesus lifts you up out of that problem and washes you with his blood. Now, when God sees his blood, he said, yes, this is my child. Hallelujah. That experience, you have God in your life. Yeah, so Point one is that God was grieved and regretted. But when you look at Genesis 1, God, when he says, let us create man after our own likeness. And God creates this being called Stephen Lungu. The first person, I think, was black. Do you think so? Oh, okay. Yeah. No. Yeah. So this person was created by God. Had a good nose and what, and the attributes, everything, what God was, this person, he was holy. He didn't know what was hatred. Hatred didn't exist. And unforgiveness didn't exist. He was like God. He dressed in the holiness of God. But he only lost it when he sinned. He found himself naked. But when he was doing the creation, God, when he creates this man, and he says, wow. I think God was patting himself. Hey, man, this is good. Yes. Then he says, this man is not complete. Let me create an improved product. And then he thinks, I said, this improved product has to come from the man. And he takes one ribs. Is that right? No, not one ribs. Because people don't know their vocabulary. That's why they marry two wives. So, but God took one rib and he creates this improved product, not like the man with the beard here, rough, everything with the hair. No, improved. The head design was different. The neck design was different. And, oh, you know what, you know. Ooh, was different. And even the way she walks was different. Oh, so when Adam looked at this improved product and said, wow, oh, he opened his mouth. Hallelujah. Yes. So God says, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. That was the first poem or first song sung by Adam. But when he created this improved product, God doesn't say, wow, it is good. No, he says, it is very good. So for husbands who shout at their wives, something is wrong here. If God says very, and you say, you shout, something is wrong. Are we together? If you want your wife to be an angel, create heaven for her. Are we together? If you want your wife to be an angel, create heaven for her. Because angels don't live in hell. Amen? Yeah, so that's what I tried, you know, when I got married to Rachel. I said, God, I saw my father bashing my mother every day. Every day there was blood every day. So when I came to time to get married, first thing 8 years was to deal with myself, to pray against all the cases of my generation. My great-grandfather, they were all marrying, divorcing, marrying, divorcing, marrying, divorcing. So I had to cut off from that generation curse. And I said, God, if you give me a wife, it is that, it is someone's daughter. Her parents love her so much. And I want to outdo that love. So I prayed for 8 years for a wife, 8 solid years. I wasn't praying for that wife, I was praying for myself. That God, if there's anger in me, that woman mustn't come into my life with that anger. Because I will spoil what you have given me. Are we together? And I said, deal with my anger, deal with the spirit of unforgiveness, even shouting at wife. Then as I was praying, fasting one day, the Lord shows me in this vision, this woman dressed in a navy sky blue dress, holding a Bible upside down on Acts chapter 26. And her shoelaces were untied, one leg, suede shoes. And the voice says, tie the shoelaces. I said, no, God, I cannot touch a woman's leg. What will people say? Then I would wake up. So I said, Lord, on one condition, you deal with me, take away everything. So in that vision again, says, I'm giving you this woman to be a drama you'll be watching in your house. You know, instead of going to play in the theaters to watch a drama, you know, drama, playing drama. But God says, I'm giving you a wife as your drama. So I said, well, thank you, Lord Jesus. So I started writing notes soon after we got married. I started writing notes about my wife. She didn't know that I was writing things about her. You know, when I forget, she says, well, so I'm enjoying this drama. When she gets angry, I'm laughing. She said, you are laughing. I said, no, I'm just enjoying your anger. So she was like a drama. I didn't want to help her getting angry. If she's angry, I'm enjoying the drama. The whole thing is I'm writing down. And so she said, I will never be angry with this man. But also, if you want to find a Christian, a true Christian, is that you must see a Christian who can do shopping with his wife. Oh, then you'll find a Christian. Many husbands failed in that area of shopping with their wives. They can go with their wives, but, you know, first shop, they'll be together. Second shop, we said, yeah, you find me by the door. Third shop, you find me in the car reading the newspaper. You know, the husband is already angry, but because women, they can't go in the shop, may I have this dress and pick it up? No, that's not a woman. A woman will go in the shop, pull out 10 dresses, and she says, no, I don't like, let's go to second shop. And then you go to second shop, she pulls out 12 dresses. No, let's go to the third shop. Meanwhile, the husband, the second shop, is not with you inside. And the third shop said, can we go to the first one? Said, what? We've been there already. Said, yeah. So if you want to find a Christian, a real Christian, is that man who can do shopping with his wife without any anger. That's where you find a good Christian. Are we together? Oh, men, so many men have to repent. Some, they open the door for their wives during wedding, but after wedding, she became pregnant. He doesn't open the door anymore. And instead, he blows the hooter. Pee pee, hurry up. And poor woman has to run up and down because this man in the car is already angry. You are delaying me. 45 years, I'm married to Rachel. 45 years, I'm still opening the door for her into the car. Praise his name. And I've respected her just as she was a young girl. I've never stopped. I've never stopped. What I used to do as a young girl, I'm doing exactly that. I go to the market. We Africans, it's a taboo to see a wife, see a husband carrying the things in the marketplace, what the wife is buying. But my wife, you know, she's going with a Bible like this, a handbag, you know, buying this, and I'm carrying this heavy thing, and they are becoming heavier and heavier. And she comes where they are selling sweet potatoes. My goodness me. It's going to be heavy now. You know how sweet potatoes are. And she buys this, and I'm struggling. So the African women in the market say, "Mommy, why make your husband, you know, care all this?" And then my wife jokingly say, "Ah, he's my donkey." And I enjoy to be a donkey. Hallelujah. Yeah, so God, when he created man, he was so, but then when man sinned, in Genesis chapter 6, let's look in Genesis chapter 6. Then we go to come to an end. Amen? In Genesis chapter 6, from verse 3, the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years, but now no one is reaching there anymore." My father went as far as 104. Yeah, when he died, 104. So I told him I'll go beyond that because I'm busy preaching. So the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become. Let's look at the world now, the man's wickedness. Even this gay problem, it's man's wickedness. Man's wickedness. And now people are saying gay rights, human rights, and so on. Now, then there's a group which has come up now fighting for human rights, bestialities. Yeah? Bestiality? Those are marrying animals. Marrying your own dog. Marrying your own horse. You know, sleeping with animals. And they are fighting for their rights as well. Where do we stop? And now San Francisco has passed a law that you can walk nude even in the streets. And as I was walking in San Francisco, I see a husband, wife, three daughters, all naked in the streets. And as I come, I said, "Oh." And then everyone said, "Why are you surprised? Are you from Africa?" I said, "Yes, I like Africa, not here." You see, people walking naked, and I'm running in Amsterdam. In Holland, I was jogging at the sea, and I come at a corner, and I see all those people there nude. And I said, "My goodness me, turn around quickly." You know, that's what the world is. The wickedness is there, but we can talk about America. Even here in South Africa, we have gone bad. We have gone sour. And even when things are happening, the church is silent. No one is rebuking all these things. Our young people, sex in colleges is like a game. There's no fear of God anymore. Drinking, alcohol, and all that. Smoking and so on. People have lost that fear for God. Fear for God. I was telling my children that if before you get married, because every time I go on trip, when I come back, I have a date with each child. Take the child, the son or daughter to the restaurant to spend time, quality time with my children. Because I didn't have that type of love from my father. So I want to give it back to my children. Spend quality time. I have the firstborn in the morning, lunch with my son, and dinner with my daughter, following day with my other son, and so on. So each one has a quality time with me. And I say, "We are here 3, 4, 5 hours. It's all yours." And they talk. They ask questions. You know, girls say, "Oh, Dad, what if a boy touches you? What happens?" So I explain to them what happens. What is happening in the mind of the boy? I explained to them. So they were protected because they were hearing it from me. Are we together? They were hearing it from me. And I told my three girls, I said, girls, you are like a loaf of bread in ShopRite or Checkers. You don't go to Checkers and take a loaf of bread and give it a bite. No, they will arrest you. You have to take that loaf of bread at the counter. But when you pay 9 rands or whatever it is, you don't give it a bite at the counter. I say, where do you take it? Oh, Dad, we take it home. I said, when you go home, you take the loaf of bread now, you have bought it, you throw it in the mouth. He said, no, Dad, we take slice by slice. I said, yeah, correct. You know, no young man must touch your body because you are in the shop of the living God. Any young man who wants to touch you must face by you at the counter of the altar. And when he buys you with the ring, he doesn't bite you there. He has to take you home slice by slice. Amen. So you are protected. And when you come in front of the pastor or the priest or whoever, when they are getting married, you, in your conscience, you are saying, thank you, God. I'm giving myself to this young man or this young man, to this girl, pure, unspoiled. And you don't have the guilt conscience of the past. So many people get married, but they have the guilt conscience with that young man, with that young girl, with that young man. They've already been tested. No. When you get married, you must feel, yes, I've been paid for. Amen? Like Rachel gave me this. Hey, it was like she was dropping from heaven. Woo! And I got married without a father, I didn't have a relative. I had nobody at my wedding. I said, God, please, just be your presence to be with me. I didn't have a father who could represent me. I just picked up a man who signed on my behalf, who was from Zimbabwe. And I had got a married man to be my best man. But while we were waiting for Rachel and Chase, he collapsed and rushed to the hospital. So I married all without a best man. I think I had all the angels this side. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you have got human beings, but I had angels. Hallelujah. Oh, that was exciting. Now God, when he looks at the world, he is grieved with what is happening. If it doesn't grieve you, there's something wrong. You have never taken the heart of God inside you. But if you have got Jesus inside you, you will be grieved to see what is happening around South Africa. South Africa is rotten. South Africa is decaying. And it will need you from Shofar, us from Shofar, to turn around this nation in the name of Jesus. And we have got to stand up. Young people, don't be conformed with the world. When the world is going left, go right. If it is going downwards, go upwards. Create the cross. You have to create the cross. And when you create the cross, people will see that this girl, this woman, this young man is a child of God. Hallelujah. He's a child of God. But I want to raise you up, your standard today, where you say, God, enough is enough. I can't be on the same level. I want to go higher with my Lord today. If you had no passion for God, I want to create that passion to this morning, that from this service, you will be on fire for God. You will be, oh mama, you will be unstoppable for the kingdom of God. You will not be a timid girl, a timid young man. No, everyone, God is commanding us to be strong in the Lord, but also to be vigilant. When you are vigilant, you are watchful of what is happening in the world. Hallelujah. Billy Graham, when I visited Billy Graham, he said, "Stephen, preach the word. Preach the cross." I said, "Yes, sir. I'll preach the cross." Then he warned me. He says, "Stephen, here in America, never be in an elevator with a woman. If a woman goes in the elevator, walk out." And that's what I've been doing. You know, I saw it in Las Vegas. When I was preaching in Las Vegas, a woman comes dressed to kill. Ooh, she was like Lady Diana. The perfume, mud, was wonderful. But then the elevator, she drops one parcel. Now I wanted to be a gentleman, you know. I picked up the parcel and gave it to her. I said, no, can you help me take to my room? I said, "No, I can't go to your room." He said, "No, please. She's crying. This time, you know, women, they got tears just by the veranda. Please. I said, "No, ma'am, I will not take." And I went to the door and placed there, walked away. Now, Billy Graham says, that's how, if he had walked in, should have closed the door and cry that he wanted to rape her. So the Lord protected me. Then I fly to New York, and I'm going to New York, and I go there in my hotel room, Holiday Inn, and I've preached the whole day. I'm tired. I got in my pajamas. Then suddenly I hear bang, 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 bang on my door. And then I ran to the door, opened the door, and this young white girl, boom, went inside. And then I'm looking in the corridor, who is chasing her? And I look that way, look, there's nobody. So when I turn around to talk with this girl, she's completely naked on my bed. Says, "Have sex with me." Then I go to this next bed, took the cover bed, threw it over her, wrapped her as she's fighting, and then threw her out. The whole clothes were following later. You know, a sin of sex, never pray. Are we together? Never pray. When you are confronted with a sin of sex, never pray, but run. Are we together? Run. Thank you, my sister. Run. Because when you start praying, all the malaria will catch you. So run. Joseph ran. He even left his jacket. Because his precious soul was important. Now I want to close. God regretted that he had created man. But now that's where it comes in Peter. In Peter chapter 2, Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 10, he says, "But do not forget this one thing." 2 Peter 3, verse 8 to 10. "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you." Look at this. God is patient with you. Is patient with you. Nahum 1 verse 3. "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will leave the guilt. The Lord will not leave the guilt unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." Can you imagine? The clouds are the dust of his feet. What a wonderful God. The clouds are the dust of his feet. Hallelujah. So I praise God. And as I close, in Africa we close many times, don't worry. But this is Cape Town closing. So the Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people. God can see your weakness. You try to be full of joy. He can see that. That sin which you committed long time ago, but it is still bothering you. God can see that. You are struggling one way or another in your spiritual life. God can see that. God can see that. He sees you struggling even in your marriage or in your lifestyle. You say, God, I wish I was a spiritual giant. God wants you to make you one today. But he can see that problem, that weakness, how you are struggling to follow Jesus, how you are struggling to be on fire for God. He can see that. Then God says, I've heard them cry. God can hear that deep inside cry, like Hannah. He can hear that cry. Maybe you've been crying for a child like Hannah. Up to now, you say, God, when? Oh man, what a wonderful God we serve. If he answered me with my wife, he's the same God who can answer you today. Hallelujah. And then he says, I am concerned. God is concerned about your spiritual life. You young man who is not born again, or a lady, for a long time you say, God, I'm not happy with my lifestyle. But God, today you are concerned about me. You are concerned about me. Then God says, I have come down. He says, I like how Psalm 113 says, God stoops down to look at his people. A king never bows down, never. But when God stoops down on you, when he stoops down, but he also comes down to your level. That's why he called his brother Zach there on the tree. Zach ran ahead, problem number one. He went upwards, problem number two. Jesus comes on that spot and says, hey, Zach, come down. I came from heaven to a level ground, but you are going upwards. That's how we miss God. We go upwards with our pride. God says, come down on your level ground. So God in this chapter says, I've come down to your situation, whether it is marriage or employment or work or business. God has come down this morning. Hallelujah. God has come down in your weakness. He wants to lift you up. Jesus says, do you want to get well? He says, yes. And so God is asking, do you want to get well? He has come down to your life. Shall we stand? God has come down to your level ground and you say, God, my spiritual life is not moving as I like, but God, today have come down for me. In your situation, your level, or maybe your struggles, in your maybe your thoughts, your mind, and so on. I don't know whatever it is, but God has come down to risk you from this place to another place, to another level. He took Israel from Egypt to a country of milk and honey. But God is lifting you up to a place of higher anointing into your life. So you say, God, please, you have come down for me. I want to come to you. And you come forward here and say, God, I'm coming to you. I want you to reach out to my level ground. I don't want to climb up like Zacchaeus, but I want you to reach out because he's concerned about you. Just come forward quickly. God bless you. Just come forward. Say, Lord, I'm tired of this level ground I am. I want to go higher. I want a fresh touch. I want to accept you as my Savior. I want to turn around from all the things which have been, dragging me down to move forward. And as you heard, brother, I was sharing with Brother C.S., in that congregation, one person came, one young man, It was only one young man in the big auditorium, and I preached like I've done now for almost 1 hour. One person was listening, 1 hour message. And when he came forward, he was the only one. He couldn't run out. But he came forward. But that man has built a 6,000-seater church. He's one of the most powerful evangelists, but he was all by himself. And when I came to Jesus, there were 3,000 people. But I was all by myself when I walked forward with my AK-47 and with all my bombs and my drugs, I came forward. And that night, Jesus changed my life. And you see the person in front of me, I was a murderer. But God found me. I didn't care about people. I walked alone. I was stinking. I was smelling that day. But when Jesus touched me, it changed from the old Stephen to a new Stephen. And I know God wants to bless South Africa through somebody here. Just walk forward. South Africa is waiting for you. Just walk forward. Don't struggle with the Spirit of God. He says, my spirit will not contend with men. So come forward as God has been speaking to you. Please come forward. I know the Lord is waiting for you. Praise his name, brother.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.